Welcome to Trail Manners, the podcast so dedicated to mountain trails and running that they broadcast out of a 78 Volkswagen bus in the mountains. Who does that? Eric and Joel are your hosts and will bring you the trail life as you may have not heard it before. You hear about everything from gear reviews, nutrition to keep you upright and moving forward, and they'll even bring guests into the bus for conversations that you won't hear anywhere else. It's time for some running adventures on a higher elevation. The old 78 Volkswagen bus is fired up and headed to the mountains. Here are your hosts for Trail Manners, proudly representing the 801 with their passion and love for the trails, Eric Manning and Joel Hatch.
Welcome to the Trail Manners Podcast, episode 114. Today we're on location at Zions National Park in the Watchman Campground. Today we're going to be talking with Jim Skaggs and Jeff Hart, just sitting here after a nice day on the trail. So if this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Trail Manners Podcast is produced every week for enjoyment, and show notes are found at trailmanners.com. Come back often, and please feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Or you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Trail Manners. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get after it. All right, welcome to episode 114. Super special episode for a couple reasons. One is we're on location in Zion National Park. We're at the Watchman Campground, spot C, 22. And we have two guests. Joel, unfortunately, is not with us. He's getting back from Phoenix, wasn't able to make the trip. So again, I apologize to our listeners. It's just Eric Manning. But I did bring two guests on. We have two veterans of the podcast. We have Jim Skaggs, who we've had on just recently, the race director from the Buffalo Run Adventure Runs, as well as, obviously, trail runner. And we have Jeff Hart, who we followed around last year to the Hard Rock 100. He came down from Bellingham, Washington, to be a part. Guys, thanks for taking the time after dinner and dishes, because we just did dishes. I scrubbed them good,
Yeah,
though,
we had to do women's work tonight.
That's Jim, that was Jim Skaggs. Yeah. That may get edited, because me and Jeff Hart don't believe that.
No,
but we so today we started a little. We did a little trail run. We started at the east rim. Is that what it's called here?
East
entrance of Zions National Park
on the East Rim Trail.
Rim Trail, and we did about 10 miles, a little over 10 miles. Just came down to the where Jeff. What's the route? What do we do today?
We trailhead or east entrance to Weeping Rock.
That's right.
Yep.
And what a spectacular day!
Oh, absolutely.
With views. The company was great. Saw a lot of people on the trail. But it's just a fun day. Just nice to get out. Jim's, for those that don't know, Jim's coming off 5 months now of double Achilles surgery, which we've talked about on previous podcasts. And he longest you've run since when?
Since I paced at the Bear last year in September. So a double-digit run today.
And it wasn't just a run. If anybody's done that route, either direction, it's super technical.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun, though.
Amazing.
I was in my happy place.
So we had some good videos, some good photos. We've released a lot of those already. And then tomorrow, Jeff, it's Sunday, you're going to be running the full Zion Traverse starting on the west side of Kolob, right?
Yeah, at Lee's Pass.
And then you're going to be going all the way basically to the East Rim Trail entrance for 43 miles?
I think it's 48. Is that
48? I think it's around 48.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, we decided you're going to, it's going to be hot for you tomorrow.
Well, it was in mid-70s today, and I was roasting.
Well, you know, they have the index. Anytime you look at the weather, it says it's 70, but it feels like this, right? Because of wind or whatever. So today you say it's 70. My index says, but it feels like 97. That's kind of how I felt.
And I say it feels like heaven.
Jim's a weather guy. He likes the warmth.
Weather Weenie
is his nickname.
Yep.
But we had a lot of fun today. Jeff's going to be doing the full traverse. But what we've done is I knew we were coming down here. I knew we were going to have a couple. I mean, both of their race resumes is off the charts ridiculous. You've got Western States, Hard Rocks, lots of races back. I mean, just everywhere. Not just race directing, running. You know, Jeff's a climber. So we've got really good, a real good spectrum. And myself, I got two legs and two arms. So I'm in the mix somewhere. So I asked some friends, I said, hey, I want some topics. Give us some topics that we can go down to Zion and just kind of talk about. So the first one we're going to start off with, and this is one of my favorite ones, and it's for many reasons. So running blind dates. Now, it's not like Tinder, right? It's not like...
I hope not.
It's not. I don't even know how to work it.
I'm married, so I hope not.
Yeah, and but basically what it meant was, so I don't even remember 2011, I think it might have been. I was running Wasatch 100, and I started... Somehow, me and Jeff Hart were running together, and that's early on in the race.
It
we
was
saw
early.
Each other. It was before the towers.
Yeah.
And we ran about 7 miles together and just chatted back and forth. I think at the time you were living in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And I just was talking. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing the Grand Canyon. And Jeff's like, oh, I want to do that with you guys. And I'm like, okay, you know, people say, I'm like, sure, you're more than welcome to come down. Well, he kept in touch, and he showed up to the Grand Canyon with us. And at the time, we had a good running group of people, the Hummers, Happy Utah Mountain Runners. And so we had a solid group. Jeff came on, and everybody met Jeff for the first time, fell in love with the guy, because you do. And so that's where we running blind dates, right? It's like you find somebody that just shows up on a run with you because they knew somebody, and then you end up being friends with them. And that's easy now through social media. But do you guys have any other stories like that where you've met somebody? And it's pretty easy to do in trail running. But has there been some that, because you're one of mine, right? Jeff's one of my blind dates for running. Can you guys think of any? He's blushing. He's got a red shirt on, so it's hard to tell. But I know listeners have those, so we'd love to hear those stories. But do you guys have any stories like that?
I'm sure I do. I'm trying to think, though. I mean, I've been running a couple of years here and there, but I don't know, Jeff, you got anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, I ran the Grand Canyon and ran into these people. No, I try to be, I'm not much of a social butterfly anywhere but on the trails. And then as soon as I get on the trails, I just feel the need to just say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like every race I come away with lifelong friends. And many people, you know, another person that's here with us, well, not here right now, but Allie from Bellingham.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we both live in Bellingham, and yet we end up in Zion at the same time.
Right.
And last fall it was, we both end up at Javelina at the same time with I had no idea. So this is people like that where you just kind of, you know, you make these connections and then you run. Oh, and even more. Tomorrow.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow, gentleman, longtime runner, Jeff List, you know, hard rocker, veteran, sees that I'm in Zion and says, hey, I'm going to do the traverse on Sunday. And I said, do you want company? So it's just kind of that, I don't know, to me, it's like, it's the grassroots way of mentoring people or being mentored.
Yeah. Well, that's out.
We're just going out and having a good time.
What was that?
We're just going out and having a good time with like-minded people.
Yeah, and well, I think that's a lot of what it is.
Yeah, I was trying to smarten it up, but
nah,
that's really
don't
what
bother.
It is.
Jim's got it. He's got it on Hallmark cards, and it's just cheaper because it's smaller, right?
Yeah,
it's like the postcard Hallmark card. But I think that's a lot of what it is because, and I think that's what I enjoy is hearing the stories as you're running, right? Because like tomorrow, you're running with. How many he's done Hard Rock? How many times you think off
I
top
think
of your
he's
head?
Done it a dozen or more.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, and then there's other people in the group, and maybe you don't know who they are, but you always come up and you get these. Like a perfect example, a story you told me today. I was asking about trail running stores in Bellingham, and you're like, "Oh, we've got Fairhaven, and they just hired."
Who? Oh, Nicodemus. Well, people would know him as Nicodemus Holland, but his new name's Nicodemus De La Rosa.
Yeah. And so that's an example. And he saw you with a Hard Rock jacket or something. He's like, oh, yeah, it's a tough race. And you're looking at him going, or it's tough to get into. And like, maybe not as hard as Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, you knew who he was.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of neat that way. But because a lot of my friends, when we went down to the Grand Canyon with you, Jeff, or GF, you came down, I was letting them know, yeah, Jeff's coming. Like, Brian was one. She's like, oh, I love Jeff. He's such a fun, he's a neat guy.
Oh,
and
good.
I think that's kind of how it is across the board, because when you said you wanted to come do Zion Traverse with us months ago, I was psyched. I'm like, that is so cool. And then, of course, next month I'll be visiting you.
That's right.
And you're going to be touring me around Bellingham, and I can't get enough of that. So, but that's an interesting topic because there's a lot of that out there. And, I mean, this is just one example, but it's the same thing. It's just you meet so many people, and it's almost like no matter where you go, and now it's easier with social media, it's like, hey, I'm heading to X location. Where should I run? And people are chiming in, and some people are like, oh, I'll take you on the run. And people have done that with us. I said, I got some free airfare, right? I want to go somewhere. And people are like, oh, come here, go here. You can stay here. And it's like, wow, that's really cool. You know, like, I couldn't do that on Craigslist because I'd end up a lampshade or something. You know what I mean?
I do remember one story. So So shortly after I moved to the Salt Lake area 14 years ago, it's like 2 weeks after I moved, I threw a note out and said, hey, I just moved here. Somebody take me for a run. And local Salt Lake runner, Jeff Gerke, responded and said, I'm running Brighton to the homestead. It was a training run on Saturday. Show up. And so I showed up, and here I am just recently from Illinois, lowlands. Brighton's at 9,000 feet.
It's a little higher.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit of elevation there. And he just takes off and heads up towards Sunset Pass, and I'm sucking wind big time, but it was fun. Had a good time. Made a friend that I've known ever since. Whenever I see him, we have a good time. And, you know, it's just that trail running camaraderie that is so prevalent in our sport.
Well, and then today on our venture run, we came across a group of gentlemen. I don't know, there's probably 8 of them or so. And they were stopped. They were backpacking. And we just got to talking, and they had some accents and back and forth talking. Like, yeah, we're from, where are you guys from? And, you know, we tell them all this, where we're from. And they're like, yeah, we're from Louisiana. And, of course, for me, I know one person, you know, three or four people from Louisiana, the Stephensons, and then Logan. I said, oh, you know, a friend of ours runs, Logan Ledford, and they're like, oh, he's from Monroe. These guys are from Lake Charles. And they're trying to give us the difference, right? They're like, oh, well, these guys, they're more Arkansas. Their accent's like that guy over there, but harder. And then they told me, they said, yeah, in Monroe, or maybe it was Monroe. They said, yeah, they'll wave and they'll kiss you on the lips to say hello. And I was like, huh. So Logan probably thinks I'm weird because I haven't kissed him yet. And so I sent a message on Facebook, and he says, oh, if you get some crawfish lip gloss, I'm in.
There.
And I'm
yeah.
like, well, I'll Google that. That's easy. That's Amazon. That's 2 days.
All right, looked. I couldn't find it.
He's trying to set me up.
First thing I did, Amazon.com, crawfish chapstick. We returned 0 results for your search.
Well, then we got there's a market for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that's a perfect example, because before that, if I'd have met these guys on the trail 2 years ago, I wouldn't have registered anything. Like, I didn't have a connection with Louisiana.
Sure.
I didn't know anybody from Louisiana, really. And now it's like, oh, because of running and trail manners, I'm like, oh, I know 3 or 4 people now from Louisiana. And I think the same can go, you know, with both of you. Like, Jim, I mean, we've had conversations like, oh, you've lived everywhere. And so have you, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, hearing them like, oh, I've been in Pennsylvania and New Hampshire. And I'm like, oh, I've been, you know, in under a rock and
in Utah.
Under a sink, and now I've lived a few places, but but I think that's kind of the interesting part of it, is you make connections all over the place. And me, the way I am, I bring up runners, right? It's like, oh, I know a runner from there,
right?
You know,
the funny thing is if we had been anywhere else, I wouldn't have known how to interact with that group.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The trail just brings it out.
I would have walked right by him.
Yeah.
I really would have. Yeah. I would probably, I don't know, maybe would have nodded my head, say hi.
Yeah.
You know, but otherwise, same thing. And we talked to him.
Oh, we were there 5, 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes talking about. Jeff was teaching him what's wrong with some
repelling
anchors that were in place. Not for them, but they were just already laying there. And so it was just kind of fun, because there was those, I don't know, just on the trail, saying hi to all the people we saw today and kind of having something in common, even if they weren't, even when people are throwing jabs at us, like that one lady. Oh, there was a group of 4 guys running the whole thing today, but they were running. And I almost went, well, lady, it's warm out. I will fill this trail with uppercuts right now.
Well, I think the whole thing with a running blind date, I think the main point is that don't be afraid to hook up with or run.
Jim means run with.
Yeah, run with. Hook up with. I'm old school. Hook up with for me means something totally different than it does today. Nonetheless, don't be afraid to get out there and run with trail runners you don't know. And, you know, you never know what kind of friends you'll make. I've made friends all over the place just through running and such. And so, you know, just by getting together with somebody and going for a run with somebody I didn't know.
Well, and I look like right now at the table, I didn't know either one of you. I knew one person that ran, period, in my life before I started running. That was Scott Hyme. And then I've met just a slew of people. And when I look at my my, I don't know, past 10, 15 years, when I look at people I talk to or people I know, the trail running people that I know are like the real people, right? It's like they're just, I don't want to sound bad or anything, but they're real, as opposed to some people you just meet from maybe work or something where you maybe have a job in common, which everybody complains about half the time. But when you're on a trail, it's hard to complain about trail running because you're out there doing it voluntarily.
Can't complain about trail running. Yeah, that's just wrong.
And you've heard all the excuses if you have complained. It's like, oh, it's hot, because I do that one. It's like, it ain't that bad. Oh, it's rainy. Right.
I thought it was great.
You know, Jim's coming off a double Achilles, and he's not complaining about his Achilles. So, but I think that's one of the, what I think Jim hit it on the head is, and that's helped, this is what Trail Manners Podcast done for me, because I'm not good at meeting people. I'll be the first to admit I'm kind of standoffish because I don't have a lot of confidence in people, but Trail Manners let me meet more people. And now I love it, because then I go places, people, and I feel like I have a connection with them, right?
I remember when you were pacing me at Wasatch a couple years ago.
Oh, perfect example.
And that lady, Marcy Pearson?
Yeah.
I think was her name?
Yep.
That was so funny.
Oh, we ran with her for a few miles.
Well, yeah, the last 6 miles of the race.
Well, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 miles, and out of the blue, she's like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Are you Trail Manners? Oh, I love your podcast. Yeah, that was awesome.
When someone says, are you Trail Manners? That's like a... That's one of those hesitation responses. I look at him, I go, maybe. Because like, if they don't like it, I'm like, yeah, my name's Joel. Because they mix us up anyway, right?
Oh, so. About spit beer through my nose on that one.
Oh, so it is good.
It's interesting, and I think Jim did a very good job of actually putting a moral to this, you know, blind dating. That's pretty good. But... Jen and I are often lamenting that we can't connect with people that are my typical age, or, I don't have friends outside of running.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to make friends outside of running. Well, I really don't.
I don't know how to start a conversation to become a friend, right?
With someone. No.
I mean, not, I don't mean that rude, but that's me though. I'm a very much kind of quote unquote introverted person. All right, we're back with the podcast. Sorry about the quick break. We had the camp host come by. So we're going to take a quick side story here because it's appropriate, because it just happened. And then we're going to get back if someone at this table can remind me about meeting friends. So we get back from our run today, and the campground's full. Zion's is packed. There's no parking anywhere, even in town, at $22 a day. And you get two cars at your spot. So we come walking up, and there's a car parked at our...
Strange
vehicle parked at our spot. We're like, what in the heck? So we walk up, and we're kind of bent a little bit already, and there's a note on the car. It says, there was no parking in the visitor's area. Sorry for the inconvenience. Be back later this evening.
We have beer.
We have beer. And so I'm thinking, okay, later this evening, because we have two cars at this location. Jeff's car's here.
They just weren't here at the time.
Yeah, and Allie, who was staying here, she went to Flagstaff, her and her boyfriend, to visit some friends, but they're coming back, so they have nowhere to park right now. And these people have just taken over our camp parking like it's no big deal. And now it's 7:30 at night, and they're still not back. So apparently it's okay to do that and knock someone out of their spot if you have beer. So we went over and checked out their beer stash. And I pegged it.
Light?
I pegged it because we saw them last night, camp next to us. And I saw it, and I said, I bet they've got, Miller Lite or Keystone.
And I said Keystone Light.
Yeah, and then they ended up having Coors Light and Hams. And Modelo. So all of them were just kind of more of a spicy
Foo-foo
urine,
beer.
Right?
Spicy urine?
Spicy urine.
That's kind of what they are to me, you know? It's like there's nothing to them. So that was kind of funny. And so we just had the camp host come up because he's checking in on them, kind of like, where are these guys? He keeps stopping by, and we can't find them. And now I think one of them just walked up to their tent. And then we had at our campsite, Jeff left some oranges, some cutie bag of cuties, and some bananas,
awesome.
And some animals took them over. So they ended up taking our food from us. So yeah, these deer, they took off the table. We were across the road, and they were eating a banana. And, you know, Jeff's like, well, I don't want them to eat my little cutie oranges. And started walking over. And as soon as they saw Jeff, one of them grabbed the entire bag and started to take off running. And they ended up dropping it because they don't have neck muscles and it was too heavy. But these deer got to do some more CrossFit. That's all.
I'm okay with them taking my bananas, but don't mess with my cuties.
Well,
did they eat the bananas?
They did.
Oh, yeah, right behind Jim, mushed right there. But
Earlier
in the day, a squirrel... It was into the banana because he left it on the table all day. So food for thought. Don't leave your food on the table if you want
to
keep it away.
Well, they tell you not to here.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, really?
It's not that sign right there or anything.
Oh,
but
look at that.
Yeah, so we'll go back into it. So about meeting friends. And I think the trail running part of meeting friends, we'll spin back to the real show, is true. Because you already have something in common. And depending on the level, like, you know, for example, if someone's getting into trail running, you can kind of help mentor them. If somebody is been an avid trail runner for quite some time, then you can have things in common with them already. You know, like, well, what have you run? Oh, this is what I've run. Oh, that's a cool race. And so you can kind of bounce ideas off each other. And so there's always that already that camaraderie or
common vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you really have a common vocabulary.
Right. And I've gone to races on the recommendation of somebody I met.
Yeah.
Oh, this is an awesome race, and you do that. And so I'll throw it on my list of races, and maybe, you know, it might be that year, might be a year or two later, but I'll go do it. And, you know, it's a good way to find out about other events and recommendations and all that.
Well, it's because you get a real sense of the race, right, from someone that's done it, as opposed to reading the race description, seeing an ad on Facebook or whatever it is. When you talk to someone that's been a part of a race and they're an avid trail or ultra runner, you get a better feel, right? Like you just know what you're expecting a little bit more. So I think that's the point. That's funny you say that, Jeff. Just the word on that is I don't really have friends outside of running. And I look at mine, I'm like, I do. I have a few, but my running group friends
Oh, well, look at you.
Yeah, I'm pretty special. But it costs a lot of money to have friends outside of running, you know? I mean, it's part of my budget and my spreadsheet every month that I have to line item, you know what I mean, to kind of do that. But next one we're going to talk about, and it's funny because the people that took our parking spot just came back to apologize and brought over Silver Bullets, which is Coors Light for the layman. And we just kind of told them to go away.
I flat out told them we don't drink that beer.
And they keep running through our camp now, so it's kind of even more annoying. But so the next one we're going to talk about.
And that's the car.
That's the car starting up. It's an Xterra. I thought it was Joel at first because it was Nissan Xterra, but it's white. I thought Joel surprised us, and he didn't. But here's a good one that we got some questions to ask on, is adventure running. It's becoming more, I think, more and more popular than it's been in the past. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we just talked about, is groups of friends or friends that go running, as well as people maybe not wanting to pay race fees. It's a little cheaper. It's a little more low-key.
I don't know if
stressful.
It's a whole lot cheaper.
In your mind, it is, when you see, like, a race entry. But when we have all this beer and cheese curds and
campsites and gas money.
And losing fruit to animals.
Yeah.
It adds up.
Damn deer.
But a good one, and this is a good one because we have done this just even the last 2 days since being here, is, and we'll start, here's kind of the broad stroke we'll take. It's adventure runs, like planning it, safety, and then just kind of logistics of how you do it. And I think this is a perfect example, since we're at Zion, is, you know, where do you start? Where do you finish? How do you shuttle cars? Do you have someone meet you halfway as aid because there's not a lot of water and it's hot?
Gear. Supplies.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many. Like tomorrow with Jeff, I'm taking him to the West Rim, and he's going to run. So you have to, you know, drive him over there. He's leaving his car at the visitor center. So when he finishes, they're going to drive him back. Or if he stops at the grotto, he can take a shuttle. So there's all these logistics involved still with trail. It's, you know, I guess it's how you do it, right? So if you're doing a route where it's an out and back or a loop back to a trailhead, but I think there's more to just, hey, I want to go run. I'm not saying names because friends told me not to mention locations too much. But let's throw Capitol Reef. Let's throw that one out.
Never
there.
Never been there.
Neither have I. But
on my list.
But if you're going to Capitol Reef, okay, how would you, if you, this is a perfect example, question for Jim. You want to go to Capitol Reef. You want to do some adventure runs. You've never been there. What's your first step?
Look on Davy Crockett's blog and find out what he's done.
Because he's pretty much done everything here.
Yeah,
right?
He's pretty much done everything. And I know that he has run extensively in Capitol Reef. So I would definitely go to someplace like that. I mean, the point is you got to research the route that you're thinking about. And I know that he's done that. And I know I would get good beta on that. And so that's where I would go for that kind of information. Going beyond that, excuse me, you know, it's trying to find out, you know, setting a date and, hey, what friends can go. It's like a perfect example is here is Zion. I set this, I made the reservations for these campsites back in November. Threw it out there. And, of course, immediately I had a whole bunch of people that said, hey, we're going to show up and all that. And we ended up with like 9 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, life gets in the way. I understand that. But, you know, that's part of the planning process. I don't know if we want to get into to gear.
Yeah, absolutely. And such.
So my personal take on gear is that for an adventure run is that I always plan on being out overnight.
Okay. And what do you mean by that?
So something's going to happen.
Okay.
Either one of our runners is going to be injured, or I'm going to get injured, or something's going to happen that will result in an unexpected overnight stay. So I carry a basic of gear no matter what the adventure run. If it's over 20, 25 miles, I will, and we're going into some serious backcountry. There's a few things that I always carry. I always carry a space blanket. I always carry a pocket knife. I always carry matches.
Okay.
And some fire starter. And I carry enough calories to at least get me through the next day. And I may not plan on using them during the run, but I have them just in case I'm stuck. I'll carry enough clothes to at least survive through the night. You know, if it's going to get really cold, I'll have a jacket. I may not wear it during the day, but it's in my pack. And I always let somebody, usually my wife, know where I'm going to be. Time we plan on starting, time we think we'll get done, and I'm usually a little bit optimistic on that. It ends up being...
That's a whole other campfire story.
Yeah, do you leave a map with your wife?
Sometimes. But the point is, you know, be a Boy Scout, be prepared for, you know, something that may happen. And I know other people that I run with do the same thing. They'll carry a minimum of gear to be out for, say, 24 hours.
Well, I think you made and this is a great point, because when we were driving to start today, you know, it's warm. It's warmer here than
right.
It's where we live, both, you know, all parties here. So it was going to be a little interesting. And so it was like, and Jim's like, well, I bought gloves. I brought a buff.
A beanie.
He had a beanie. He had his long sleeve shirt on. But you got to look at where you're going and do a little research on it, because in Zion, just like a lot of, I don't know, like maybe a Grand Canyon Grand Canyon we'll throw out there, but like the Tetons, Wind Rivers, places like that, the weather can change so quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Jeff made a great point. He's like, I think people see these faster or elite runners go through it, whether it's a certain how time it is, you know, how fast they are, but they can move quicker. So if they see something coming in, they're going to move quicker than I can move. Like, they might outrun the storm one way or another, or where I'm not. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to suck. Am I ready for it?
Right.
And we've talked about this, and me and Joel have quite a bit, because we want to do a backcountry first aid and type class for people, is when you are going in the backcountry on these adventure runs specifically where there's not aid stations, you've got cars at one end of the other. There's nobody looking out for you. No cell service
exactly.
Where we're at today.
Well, think about
yeah.
when we've done rim to rim to rim in the Grand Canyon. There's basically two ways out of the Grand Canyon. Foot, helicopter.
Donkey.
That's it. Or donkey. Yeah, mule. Mule. And so when you drop into the Grand Canyon for a rim to rim to rim, you need to be cognizant of that fact. And be prepared for that fact, and part of being prepared is not just gear, but being physically prepared. You know, have you done the training necessary to do a 50-mile adventure run?
Well, and again, you getting out of the Grand Canyon—that's a jaunt.
Oh, there's only two climbs.
Yeah, just two.
Just two.
And it's the
only
way out.
It's only 12,000
really.
Feet of gain.
But like the last
no big
time,
deal.
Like the last time I did the Grand Canyon, it snowed, and it and it was hot. At one point, and then coming out, we had inches and inches
yep.
of snow.
That was awesome.
Right? So you could easily get into that going, okay, it's hot. It's the Grand Canyon. We're in a desert region. I'm wearing a sleeveless, my shorts, taking water. And then it snows, then what? You know, hopefully you're prepared enough to do that. And again, I think back to Jeff's point I just mentioned earlier is you see so much on social media, and even a lot of blogs, if there's that many out there anymore, you see the highlights mostly.
Right, the good things.
The pictures that you're like, oh, I got to go there. I want to check that out. Yep. You've got no clue original, right away what it took to get there. And if the weather changes, is it going to be that cool? You know what I mean? Or is it going to be miserable or scary or whatever it might be? So the planning part, and it's be glad at comically saying you got to be a Boy Scout, like Jim said, but it's absolutely true. You know, be prepared. And it doesn't weigh more, your space blanket, your matches. It's not like it's going to bog you down. And the payoff, if something happens, is huge, right? And
survival or not.
Yeah, it's do I want to live? And you never, I mean, I've never come in yet to a situation where it's been kind of that harrowing life or death. I've been sketchy stuff, don't get me wrong, but it was never a situation where like, oh, I could die here. And a lot of people have gone through those things, but it's about being prepared for those elements. I mean, you talked today, or maybe it was yesterday, Jim, about search and rescue cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and Jeff made a great point on that. He's like, it's $3. For, like I did San Juan Solstice.
That's Colorado.
Utah's
25.
But even 25. Yeah. It's like $25. If I don't need it, it's like insurance. You rarely need your health or car insurance, but when it's there, it helps. But like when you're doing a search and rescue one for $25 in Utah, at least it's going somewhere beneficial. Maybe not for you, but for somebody that's going to need it.
Exactly.
And it's not that much. I mean, it's like a quarter of a pair of shoes.
Exactly. Maybe only 20% of a pair of shoes.
It depends on your deal.
On the brand.
But it's just great points. So when you're out there preparing for runs, if you don't know the area, like Jim said, he'd go to Davy Crockett's, but there's other ways to do it. Is ask people that have done it.
Well,
it'd be hard not to find somebody that's done an adventure.
I research the fool out of maps too.
Maps.
I'm kind of a map whore.
Yep.
And I love maps.
You heard it here, folks, on the Trail Manners podcast. Jim Skaggs is a map whore.
I will get the most detailed maps I can, and I will just pore over them and where I'm going, especially a new place, because I get excited. And
yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm well prepared and know the route. And I remember the first time we came down here and did Zion Traverse, and I actually had the map with me for the Traverse, and I remember us getting to a few trail junctions and somebody saying, which way do we go? And I said, we go that way. And because I had researched and knew where I went. And I just can't overemphasize the fact that, the idea of being well prepared for something like that. It's fun to prepare for something like that, I think. It gets me excited to go do it.
Well, and I'm guilty. Like, just even hearing you talk more now, I feel more guilty. Because I'm the like, if I'm going with you, we're doing the Zion Traverse, I'm like, okay, how far are we running?
I'm along for the ride.
I'm here. I'll just follow your footsteps. And that's not smart. And that's what I'm saying about myself, because I don't know the route if there's not a sign. Like today I was reading the signs, I knew where I was going. But if whatever reason we got separated or you got hurt and I needed to go out, I'd be like, oh, shit, I don't know where I'm going.
Right.
Because I don't have someone to follow. I'll follow Joel. I'll follow you. There's people I've run with that I'm like, I know where they're going. I know there's routes, training runs or certain routes I know. But, like, if I wanted to run Zion Traverse, I don't know where I'd go. And you were naming names. Oh, you got to go to this location and this. And I'm like, I don't know where Wildcat something or another is. Is there a Wildcat? I mean, I don't know why. You know what I mean? And that's my fault. And I feel guilty, like, as of right this second, it's going to change.
You heard it first here on Trail Manners. Eric is changing his ways.
I really need to. Well,
and this one's an important one because, like you say, there's not a lot of options for water.
No.
So if you don't know where the springs are and you haven't done the research with the National Park website to see if those springs are flowing, you have no idea.
Well, and think about this, too. This is wilderness area. And so no motorized traffic. They can't drop... may not be able to drop a helicopter in. You could be 15 miles from the nearest trailhead, if not further, and be prepared. Yeah.
Well, and me and Joel hammer this so much, and I know our listeners probably get tired of hearing it, but I hope you don't, because we really stress safety. And it's not just because we want everybody to be healthy, not get injured, but there's also a flip side, and I don't know if it's selfishly, but if people get hurt doing things in the same location a few times, that could just get shut down.
Absolutely.
Right? Like absolutely. For a race director, for example, yep. You put, say, you know, this is kind of a stretch, but Jimmy, a race director, you do the buffalo run, and in 1 year, five people get mauled by a buffalo because they're petting him on the trails. You know, the park is going to look at it when you want to put your race on it.
Absolutely.
And they're going to be like, I don't know if that's a good idea anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's, I know that's selfishly saying it. I mean, like I said, first and foremost, we want you to be safe, but there are so many variables. I mean, forests, all the races on Forest Service land. If people start getting hurt more and more in certain locations,
they'll shut it down.
They'll shut it down because it's like a liability, and it gives that look. Why are you going to want to go there if people get hurt or die or helicopter out?
But buffaloes are so fluffy.
Yeah, they really are. They really, truly are. Jim has a buffalo fur, and I've petted it.
Yeah, but it's no longer alive.
Yeah, exactly.
So, therefore, can't chase you down.
But I think that's what we're saying is more and more people want to do adventure, and you hear more and more. And that's the thing is, like, okay, the Grand Canyon, let's throw that one out there. So you're doing the Grand Canyon, and you just see Jim Walmsley doing FKT. Okay? You know Jim's fast. He's got one hand held, and he does it in, you know,
6.5 hours.
Whatever time it is, was. Right? Yeah. Guarantee you're not going to do it that fast. He had crew with him.
Oh, I could maybe.
To the ranch.
6.5 hours down to Indian Garden.
Yeah. But so you can't get caught up in what other people are doing. And Jeff made it. Here's a good story. Jeff today said, yeah, I mentioned a friend of mine that I've been running with, and he's like, man, he's been running fast lately.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that you and Joel and this John Stewart's a friend of ours, went running together, and... Yeah, you guys didn't run together because he
so
was
much a run together.
You and Joel were like 10 to 11 minute pace, and he was 7:30. And I started laughing. I said, "Yeah, there's something wrong with John when it transfers to Strava. It's not accurate. The distance stays the same, but it cuts time off." So we ran that same route with John. His time was a 7:30 pace. Me and Joel were true, and it was 11 or 11, whatever it was. And so you got to be really careful when you're planning something based off somebody else. Right.
Yeah. For what it's worth, John, I thought you were just blisteringly fast out there. Good job, man. Keep
and John is fast. Let's
keep it up.
Let's put that out there. But that
day he was hanging out with the geriatric ward, so he wasn't going as fast. It was me and Joel. But it's just doing your due diligence. You know, packing maybe more than you should. You know, we talk about in a race all the time. Me and Joel, don't pack too much. Don't pack more than you should. You don't eat it that much anyway. But on an adventure run,
it's totally different.
It's the opposite. Yep. And Jim nails it. You know, it's like
take plenty of calories, take plenty of clothes, take your supplies to be out there overnight.
Let me ask you this question. I was thinking about this when I said it. Why matches over a lighter? Is there a reason?
Absolutely. A lighter could leak out fuel. Matches have been around for... A
couple years.
Since he was a kid.
Since I was a kid.
Caveman invented the match.
Yeah, yeah. And take the light anywhere matches, put them in a baggie, and you're good.
Okay.
And the other thing you can do, here's an instance where matches came in extremely handy. So for a number of years, I volunteered at the Windy Pass aid station for the Squaw Peak 50 miles. So for those of you that don't know, to get to Windy Pass aid station, you have to hike in all your supplies 5 miles uphill both ways.
So just like when Jim used to go to school.
Exactly. in a raging blizzard. Well, 1 year, that actually happened. So we took off from, we parked the vehicles, and we all loaded up supplies, threw on our packs for, you know, 250 runners, and started uphill. And it was pouring rain. And within a mile, we're all soaked. We get up 3 miles, and we're up enough in elevation to where now it became snow. Well, in my pack, you know, and meanwhile, we're still hiking up there. In my pack, I had taken a small bow saw for cutting wood and a bunch of matches in a baggie so that they're waterproof. So I was the first one up to the aid station location. The first thing I did when I got up there, my first order of business was to get a fire going. Because, number one, if I didn't, I was getting cold.
Your hands were cold.
I mean, I'm soaking, literally soaking wet head to toe. And I had to have a fire going. And all the wood's wet. But what I found was I found a standing dead tree, so that was not wet. I found plenty of sheltered pine needles that were still dry. And within a matter of 5 minutes, I had a fire going. I downed that tree with my trusty little bow saw. And with my matches that were still dry, I got a fire going. The other thing I did when I went up there is I took some of those little tea light candles.
Mm-hmm.
And you just light the candle and you just put it in the fire there. And then you start putting your stuff over it and the pine needles will catch and all that. And within 5-10 minutes, I had a nice fire going. And we had that fire going all day long. So there's an instance where having something as simple as some dry matches and some sort of fire starter came in very handy. If I'd had a lighter, maybe that wouldn't have worked as well. But the matches worked just great.
When you said tea candles, I thought you were going to do yoga. Or something up there.
No,
I like those for a little ambiance.
The little things you... The
no, I know. Yeah, the yeah. Little saucer can, ones.
Yeah, the little saucer ones that people put in their little whatevers.
If you do those at your house, in your living room, turn the lights off and do those, you could do really romantic yoga, too.
Exactly.
So those are handy.
Is that right?
I've heard that.
Oh, you've heard.
A buddy of mine wanted me to Google it.
Sure, sure.
So I Googled that once. Yep. It was like midnight. I'm like, yeah, I'll Google it for you. Your phone's not working very good.
But that was a prime instance of being prepared.
Yeah.
And even though it was an emergency situation or anything like that, if I didn't have the fire going, I would have been cold.
Well, and it's just a miserable experience for everybody,
exactly,
right? At least you
can
make it a little better.
And the runners coming in, when they started rolling in a couple hours later, you know, there was a nice warm fire for them to hang out around for a few minutes before they headed on down the hill to the next aid station. So, you know, it's just a prime instance of being prepared with a few extra items that would really come in handy that day.
It's funny because I'm thinking back, and on our run today, we must have had 2 or 3 times we were talking about miserable experiences.
Yep.
Because that's common trail.
Those are the ones you remember.
That truly really is.
And it always came down to some trail magic, some trail fairy that gave you something, or you had something. I remember you were telling a story, Jim, about having a fleece for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Probably would not have finished.
Yeah.
Because they were ready to drop because they were freezing cold.
And didn't have the stuff to keep going.
That one little piece makes all the difference.
Whether it's for you or it could be somebody else.
Yeah. And there's nothing I like more than being prepared enough that when I see somebody on the side of the trail.
That you can help them out.
That I can stop and say, what do you need?
Yep.
I can help you.
Absolutely.
Or most times they're just like, I don't need
like, yeah, you don't. Let me just push you off the ledge. You're good.
You're good.
So another topic I want to hit before we're on here too long, because this one's interesting to me, because there's a backstory to it. I'm not going to spill the whole beans on it because for multiple reasons, but you both have lived in numerous locations, right?
Yep.
Now, I know trail running's come a long way, and wherever you started, like Jim started before me, and before trail running was more mainstream, and I hate to say that word. But with your guys' experience, and you can go in any order, have you guys seen different mentalities, different cultures, different whatever, where your locations have been? Like Jeff, when you were in New Hampshire or Pennsylvania, or now Bellingham is a great example. Jim's been in Arkansas, he's been in Utah running. Have you seen trail culture differences, or do they seem very similar across the country where you've been? Like the people, the experiences,
the
interaction.
What I've seen based in the running I've done, and I've done a little bit here and there, is that, I mean, there's always cultural differences when you go from one part of the country to another or to another country entirely. But what I've seen in trail racing and trail running is that the mindset is we're all in this together. We're out to have a good time, and let's help each other. And it doesn't matter whether it's the lead runners in a race or the back of the pack. That seems to be the mindset for trail running. And trail running, I think, has exploded. Well, obviously, it's exploded over the last, say, 5 to 10 years. But what's fortunate is that I think that mentality is still there. That mentality of helping each other, of just going out and having a good time together, the camaraderie. I think it's still there, and I hope it stays over the years.
Okay, and I'll let you answer, Jeff, but be thinking about this too. What about differences as well? You know, like, you've run a lot with our groups in the Ogden, Utah area, and you've been in Cedar City, now you're in Bellingham. Do you see any, as well as what the first question was, do you see differences?
So the only differences that I really see, and I would totally mirror what Jim said, everybody just seems to care. Just a very caring, you know, supportive group. It never feels like racing. And I'm a middle of the packer. It never feels like I'm racing other people. I'm racing myself. And you get nothing but support. The thing that I've noticed different between, say, New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, so kind of like the New England area, is...
you get good clam chowder at the aid stations?
I don't remember having clam chowder.
I know the first time I experienced pierogies was in Ohio at Mohegan 100. It was like, oh, these are awesome.
I got chastised very harshly for not having pierogies in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's...
So that's definitely...
So there's a cultural difference.
There is a cultural difference. Yeah. But their trails are very rugged. I mean, it's just, you know, there are no smooth trails. And it's almost a badge of honor. To try and find, it seems like a almost like a rite of passage. So not just the trails, but the temperatures, you know, running in the winter when it's, you know, 20 below.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
Jim's like, what are you talking about? That's a treadmill.
And that's kind
I have
of
a treadmill for that sort of behavior.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I lived in New Hampshire, you know, I'd drill screws into my shoes, so I had screw shoes, and just you'd go out and run on the frozen lakes because,
yeah, no,
you know, you could
fish for muskie,
yeah, pass all the ice fishermen. So it was really kind of a rugged mentality and very much that kind of adventure spirit. You know, and we have them here in Utah, but a lot of just kind of under the radar races that you have to know somebody to know how to get into them.
Yeah, and there's a couple in Utah,
yeah.
That for sure we won't talk about.
Yeah.
And while I don't think that the people in Bellingham are any less tough,
yeah,
it's pretty nice to be able to run in a t-shirt year-round.
And buff trails, soft.
They're nice, so smooth and soft.
Covered needle,
it's so nice.
Covered trails.
And
cushy.
It rains there all the time. But the trails are never...
Yeah, I don't run in the rain.
They're never
either.
Dirty. They never get so... They're not like the mud that was here the other day when it was raining.
Yeah.
Where it sticks to your shoes and it just destroys the trail. They just... I don't know. It's like running on sponges. They just soak up the water and
keep going. Let me ask you guys this again, because I'm a Utah runner. Always been a Utah runner. I've met people, obviously, from other locations. But with social media, you can tap into a little bit more of the subcultures. Especially with groups, the East Coast Trail Running Group is an example. They've got a Facebook page. I'm on that. I absolutely love following that group.
Oh, I'm going to have to check them out.
It's amazing. Sean Blanton, Georgia Death Race, yeah. Run Bums, he's on there. And there's some regulars, okay, that are always posting and commenting. And then it's a huge group, great people. I absolutely want to get out to the Beast Coast. Shout out to all the Beast Coast out there.
That's right.
I want to get out there to run. But it's because I wish I was more like them in some ways. And here's what I mean by the different trail cultures. I'm in Utah. People are nice, right? I mean, we're generalizing right now, so don't come after me. But people are pretty nice and pretty reserved a lot. So, but if you follow the East Coast Trail Run page, they say what they mean, right? It's not like...
Don't hold back.
Well, it doesn't have to be... And I don't, you have to bear with me here. I don't want to offend anybody. But it's not always politically correct in certain ways, but it's not like they beat around the bush, right?
Sure.
They're like, boom, this is what it is. Boom, this is what I have to say. It's a little more... I want to say in your face, because that makes it sound bad, but they don't sugarcoat it.
They speak their mind.
I love that. And I will be the first one to say that because I'm the opposite. I have a harder time doing that. Me and Jeff were talking last night. We had a camp next to us. 1 a.m. They were loud as hell. And my thought was, will some of these campsites tell them to be quiet? I'm not the confrontational type.
I can hear them through my earplugs.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like when you guys are in these different areas, like And I don't know the Bellingham run scene. I don't know the Arkansas or where you guys have lived, but through social media, like at first when I saw some of the East Coast stuff, I'm like, well, that guy, he's
asking for it.
Yeah, right? And it's just random people. It's not one person. It's just I would remember early on, I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe they just posted that. But then I also know some East Coast trail runners, and they're just people that I actually know. So I'm like, that is one of the nicest people. They're so polite, and they're really good friends with them, and they'll comment on it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe that's more of the culture there or the just the way things are done. It's more accepted because that's how we do things on the East Coast or these little pockets, whether it's – and I'll throw out Georgia – or, you know, I mean, Andy Jones-Wilkins the same way. He kind of writes his mind, and he speaks his mind. And he's taken flack on posts from I Run Far because of what he writes. And, he, you know, people attack him. But it's like, that's what he thinks. Why is that his fault?
Right.
So I think that's, to me, is like some of these differences that I mentioned is the cultures within that. Like, I would have a hard time going to the East Coast and maybe running because I wouldn't feel like I fit in. They'd be like, saying stuff, and what do you think? I'll be like, whatever you said, it sounds good. You know what I mean? Because that's just not my personality. But it's like, that's just how they interact.
You need to get older.
I
when
do.
You get old like me, it's like, eh, you don't care.
And I do. I totally care too much about what people think. But I've noticed that with, like, the Wasatch Mountain Wranglers, right? It's not like the East Coast Trail Run page. You'll get some things on there, and there's a few people that are a little more like that. But mm-hmm. as a whole, people are trying to be sugarcoat, a little nicer.
Well, I don't know if it's sugarcoat. It's just
the delivery's different, maybe even is
right,
what I should say.
Maybe. And I don't mean this to sound bad, but perhaps tact.
Okay. Yeah.
More reserved, I think was the good description there. You know.
I think it's all online. I think that's just online.
And I wonder that sometimes. You can hide behind, I've never met you, right? Or you can't find me and come punch me in the nose.
Yeah, my trail experiences back east, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, you know, all over New England, New York, they were all the same. It's the same people. The trails, you're the
sure
same people.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, like, when I first saw those, when I first joined that group, I was a little more, holy cow. You know what I mean? but as you look at it, they are. They're the exact same. They just, I don't say they're not afraid to say it, but the best way I can put it is they just say what's on their mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not they're trying to offend anybody, but that's just the lifestyle there. I mean, I've been to New York City. I'm not a city guy. I've been to New York City, and it's a little more brash. It's a little more in your face, you know, and that's not a wrong, that's just the culture there.
Yeah.
If you're not that way, you don't survive, maybe.
Right.
You know, where other parts of the country, it's more reserved, more relaxed, or, you know, like Logan's another great example from Louisiana. One of the nicest people I've met in my life.
Yeah.
The most polite, respectful. I love it. It's like old-fashioned, just Southern hospitality.
Right.
You know, but that's what I haven't had the opportunity to go to these. And I'm sure, like I said, if I went to Georgia and ran, people would welcome with open arms, you know. But it's just when you see certain things, it's like, holy cow, I wouldn't survive a day there.
Right.
They would eat me for lunch. You know what I mean? But I haven't been to those places, so it's a perfect thing, Jeff, saying no, but just like everybody else. And
road trip.
Yeah, and I can totally see that. I can because I look at that's why I want to go to the East Coast. And I love, no offense to anybody on the East Coast, but I know a lot more people because of social media in the Georgia area. I'm not saying just in Georgia, but right in that neck of the woods, so to say. And, man, I want to go there. Because I see some cool stuff, and then just the people involved, you know, it's like, that's a cool person that I would love to share some trail miles with and talk or whatever it might be. But I think a lot of that, and I got to tip my hat, and I'm going to get him on the show, but Sean Blanton from Run Bum, you know, he's a perfect example. He's got such a following on the East Coast from mainly Georgia from what I see, but I mean, it's all up and down the East Coast. And it's like, man, that would just be fun to immerse myself. And I love the Beast Coast. You guys killed it. That's the coolest name.
That's the coolest name.
The Beast. And I'm sitting here for what can we do? Because we're not the West Coast. We're like the mountain region.
Right.
But I
love
that.
And that just rolls off the tongue.
It's
right.
All
smooth, sorts
man.
Of ways.
Hashtag mountain region. But I love that. It's like one of the things like, you guys suck. That's the coolest. I would love to have some that had Beast Coast. I would wear that with so much. I mean, that's
absolutely.
So cool.
I
you
would
know?
Too.
For sure.
You know? And so Bellingham. Kind of similar. I've been through Bellingham going to Canada when I was going to college, but the trail culture there, what's Bellingham
like?
Oh,
gosh. It's so, So it you think you have a grasp on it, you know, and I've and again, you know, full disclosure, I mean, I've only been there a year and a half, so yeah. It's not like I'm fully immersed in the trail scene, know everybody. But every time I think I've got a grasp or I think I know the people that are on the trails, I meet somebody new or there's a new group and they're going out. But there's always people. There are people everywhere running. But the connections through the running stores and the connections through the different areas that people run. You know, some people run on what's called Galbraith Mountain, which is a mountain biking mecca. And just makes for phenomenal trail running. And then there's the Chuckanut Mountains. But then you have the people who are the backcountry warriors. And we're talking about all these backcountry adventures. And I'm thinking about adventures for the summer and want very badly to get out into the mountains. And there are people that are just so low-key, they're not even on any social media radar. And they're out there killing it.
Yeah.
And coming up with these crazy adventures. It's so vast and varied as to never become boring. That's awesome. Really kind of what I can say about Bellingham.
Well, I love, like, you know, I know Chrissy Mell, obviously. She's one of our favorites on the podcast of all time. Person, everything. You know, she's up there. You know, you're up there now. We met Allie and her and Marty that's with her. Just good people, right? I mean, just
every turn.
And I really, really like that. And I'm not saying there's other places, but I've been to places, too, where it hasn't been like that. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, my curiosity is like, if I wanted to go, I don't care, Georgia, New Hampshire, Bellingham, San Diego, Montana, wherever I go, I'm a middle of the pack runner on a good day.
Yeah.
If I show up, are they going to look down on me? You know, what's the mentality? Like, you know, Boulder is, everybody's like, oh, Boulder is the running. But then it's like, no, Flagstaff, because, you know, what they've got going. You know, me and Jim were talking, we're like, man, pound for pound, Salt Lake City area. Is legit with the runners, you know, and then I'm looking at your area and I've seen stuff like Bellingham's bringing it.
It is, you know, and but then you go to every other area and it's like that. To go back to the trail club or the trail scene or clubs and the inviting, the best trail club, and so this is a little shout out, and it's a small little club in central Wisconsin. The Chippewa Valley Trail Runners, CVTR.
I thought it was going to be Cheese Curd Valley because I could use the C still and just Wisconsin.
They are the most inviting, welcome group, and they do the funnest runs, and every person to a T is just the epitome of courtesy and niceness. And I just loved going to visit Jen when she was, you know, working there.
And where's this at?
It's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So the Chippewa Valley.
I've got my favorite pint glass from that neck of the woods someone sent me. I run for beer and cheese curds.
That's a good one.
I got mailed a pint glass. I use it reluctantly. Like, I get really scared to use it because I want it to break.
Yeah.
It's my favorite one of all time. Like, no one can use it. It's in a special place. Like, if you came to my house and you grabbed one of that, I would probably jump the counter and attack you.
You're like, oh, no.
No, sorry, you can't use that one. That's special.
And what it is, and so I think what makes them unique as far as like a trail running club or a community that really works is they're welcoming. They have a huge variety of activities that meet the needs of various people. And it's just, I mean, it's just fun. Yeah. You know, they do these runs and the runs are, you know, they have a Howl at the Moon run where you're running at night. You come to this opening in the trees and, you know,
you howl at the moon.
So, they're doing it right.
Hey, well, Trail Man,
I'd let you know we got Facebook Live going.
So one of the things Trail Manners wants to do, and I'm going to bring this, and no one steal this from me because this is recorded.
Where's my pen?
Right. I'm going to start doing for social media. All right, listen up. It's going to be like clip tie selfies. So you run
and you can
carry a clip tie. You come to a sweet spot, great view, because everybody takes these glamour shots on Instagram and they promote companies. I get it. I want you to promote Trail Manners with a clip tie. Buy a clip tie. They're cheap.
In.
Huh?
In.
In?
I'm in.
Oh, Jim's in. Yeah, I'm like, in what? In your
I'm buying a clip tie this week.
So I'm going to go get a clip tie, and I'm going to carry it, and I'm going to slap it on. Take a selfie. So we're going to start this little clip tie thing because I think it's really fun. And I know someone's going to catch on and I'm going to lose a lot of money because they're going to make like tech clip ties, you know, cool stuff, whatever.
Yeah, tech wicking. Fabric.
Yeah, like Boca will do it. Wicking, and matching trucker.
Yeah.
You know, but we're going to do a clip tie thing where you take selfies on your runs. Like you're in Zion, wherever you're at, and you slap on a clip tie because they don't weigh anything, right? Let's be serious. And you could use it for safety. You can use it for a tourniquet. You can use it for a headband if you sweat.
Oh, hey, that's called being prepared. Oh, that's wait right. a minute. We got camp host here coming.
Yep.
Hang on just a second,
so,
folks.
So we're gonna have a clip tie challenge, and you're going to be seeing that pretty soon.
That would be perfect. And then I'd like to see, you know, 100-mile races have the belt buckle.
Yep.
I'd like to see races pick up, you know, maybe the 5K clip tie.
We've thought about it. And I'm going to talk to my folks at the Sign Garage. We've got to figure out if we can print these.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's coming up. No one takes this idea because I've got witnesses here, Facebook Live. I've got the podcast, Clip Tie Challenge. That's the trail manager's business here.
Patent and trademark pending.
Yep. I got my
Eric's
got
all about
your lawyer on
all
it
about
right
those.
Away, huh?
I got my intern on that right now.
You have an intern?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jim Skaggs.
Do you remember saying that this morning?
Yeah, Jim's like, I'll do it.
Apparently that's not a paid position.
No. Nothing within the trail manager's community is paid. I think a lot of these topics are pretty fun. And I always say this, I want to see our listeners chime in because I know, and you need to understand, the first thing, I would never purposely or want to offend any trail community because I think all trail communities are unique, but it's just one of those things, I don't know them, so I would never say these guys are this, these guys are that. It's just interesting to see some differences, and you see more of it through social media because I don't live in Georgia. I don't take the bus. I don't take the tram, you know, somewhere, the subway. It's just that's how you see it. But I love to see the cultures. I love to see those tight niche, like you're talking about the running group in Wisconsin, the East Coast Trail Running page. I love to see these groups just feed off each other, you know, and it's just, you know, they're full of great people that are in for the same reasons. So that's the only reason I bring that up. So I don't want anybody to get offended that I'm not against anybody. I think that's going to be
it
for the show.
If you want Eric to recommend your trail club, invite him out there.
Yeah, fly me out there.
Fly him out there.
I'm pretty cheap. I can sleep in a closet.
He sleeps in closets or on floors. I can witness to the fact that he slept on floors before because I've slept on the floor with him.
Okay, this
not
is getting a little
bit. Not in the same sleeping bag, but in the same room.
Where was this?
Up in Whitefish when we did the 100.
We did, right?
Yeah,
we slept on the floor the night before.
That was
kind of
miserable, too.
That was brutal, man. That whole day was brutal.
That's a whole other story.
That is. I don't know. It's just been a lot of fun to hit these topics, especially with you two because, you know, you both have done so much in trail running, like way more than I've ever done. Some big races, and that's why we do this podcast. I wish Joel was here because I know he would add a lot to it as well because he's done a lot. But thanks for doing the podcast because we're camping. We're drinking beer. There's a fire going. We're missing the fire.
We're missing the fire.
We're in Zion National Park.
We are heading back over to the fire.
Yeah. But thanks for spending some time with me on the podcast. You guys are great.
No, thank you.
And thanks for everybody for listening. And if you have comments, please chime in. We're always open. If there's topics you want us to hit, anything else at all, that would be great. So this is Eric. We got Jim. We got Jeff. We got the Watchman Campground. Thanks for listening to the Trail Manners Podcast, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening to the Trail Manners Podcast. I'd personally like to thank Jeff Hart and Jim Skaggs for taking the time to get on the show with us. We sure did miss Joel. But we also want to encourage everybody to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Trail Manners, or swing by the website at trailmanners.com. Don't forget to leave your comments underneath the Facebook or the website for this podcast. Always open to ideas, comments on, you know, whatever the topics we touch on today. We also want to encourage everybody to swing by the store page. Grab some gear. There's not a lot left. We got to update the store. Or you can hit us up on the contact page. Let us know what you want to see, who you want to hear, or if you would like to be on the show. Until next time, this is Eric Manning reminding you, you don't get what you wish for. You get what you work for. Now go get it.